possible now that you're here. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, we humbly, reverently approach thy word tonight, believing, Father, that you are about to wrap up your plan of salvation. And Lord, we ask you to help us, Lord, to be in that number. Oh God, when that time comes, we pray that everyone here would be ready, for we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This evening, we're going to take another attribute in the Christ is a Mystery of God Revealed, the study of twins. This will be number 14, number 39 in our review. And we're going to look at the difference in the life between the elect and the non-elect, the eternal life versus temporary life. So our first attribute, the only attribute we're going to look at tonight, is those who are ordained to eternal life. Jesus said in 1 John 5 and 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. And 1 John 5 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. There's so much dynamics in it. Now, the word hath that Jesus used here was translated from the Greek word echo. So what Jesus is actually saying here is, he that believeth on the Son of God echoes the witness in himself. And to echo the witness that is in within you, there are two things. First of all, you have to have the witness within you, which is the same Spirit that was in him, the Spirit of the Father, which is the same Holy Spirit. That's what Paul taught us in Romans 8 and 10. He said, and if Christ, Christos, the anointing, the same anointing that was in Jesus, be in you, the body, your body, your body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit, God's Spirit, is life because of right wiseness. But if the Spirit, God's Spirit, the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, that means make alive, your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth or inhabits or lives in you. Now, we do not have time to go in specifically to this, but there are 18 scriptures that show us that it was God himself that raised up Jesus from the dead. So I'm just going to give you two of those. Acts chapter 2 and verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. And the second one is Acts 4 and 10. Be it known unto you all and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised up from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Paul making a distinction, of course, between God and the Son. And notice Paul told us that if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, we know that's God, if that Spirit dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit living in you. All right. So it's his Spirit living in you that makes you alive to the Word. Now back to Romans 8, and we'll pick up at verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of your body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself, and there's only one Spirit, that's God's Spirit, the Spirit. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory, the doxa, the values, judgments of God, opinions, which shall be revealed in us. Now, the question is, he said, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You need to know if God's Spirit is bearing witness in you and how he's bearing witness in you. So I see those values, opinions, and judgment are to reflect in us, to be revealed in us, as Paul says here. And that is what Paul means by God's Spirit bearing witness with our spirit. Are the values of God bearing witness in my soul? Are the opinions of God, his opinions, are they reflected through my mouth, through my actions? Are his judgments the same? Because no man can do what God can do. So when those things are reflected in us, it is not us, but it is God who worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Now back to 1 John 5 and 10, he says, he that believeth on the Son of God echoes the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So we see the fact that his life reflecting or echoing in your life shows that his life is bearing an outward witness that his life is living in your life for you. Notice again verse 12. He that echoes the Son hath life. Echoes life. Now what John is telling us is that he that echoes the Son echoes life, and he that echoes not the Son of God echoes not life. So it's not a matter of just saying what he says, but it's living what he lived, doing what he did. Now, I can't get much plainer than that. He that echoes the Son echoes life, and therefore, if your life is not an echo of his life, it shows that his life is not living your life for you, and thus his life is not in you. Now, we have a very short time before the actual catching away. It would behoove all of us, myself included. I pray every day, but I don't pray like I ought to pray. I know I should be praying more. I know we should be praying without ceasing. We are living at the end of the end. We are living when all things, like Brother Branham said, the last sermon will be preached one day. The doors will be open for the last time one day. Our freedom that we have to come together to worship will be gone one day. And what will we do then? Now you might say, well, I got the Holy Ghost, but I just can't live it. Then if you can't live it, that shows you don't have it. That's not legalism, that's Bible fact. Now, let's take the logic here. The same John also in 1 John 4:4, he said, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Now, if his spirit is living in you, then greater is his spirit that is living in you than your own spirit which is in the world, than your own spirit which is in you. But by saying you can't live it, you are in essence saying you do not have his spirit working in you both to will and to do. Either that, or you are professing that your own spirit is greater than God's spirit in you. Take your pick. Either one of them, you're off the word. Then John says in verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you echo eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So John is actually writing this epistle so that the people might know that they are echoing Christ. Now John tells us the reason that he wrote what he did is because he wants us to know that what we are echoing is eternal life. For what good would it do for you to echo eternal life without knowing that what you are echoing is eternal life? 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Now you see, not only is his life living itself out in you, but because it is his life living itself out in you, he understands himself what it is that you are asking, and your motives and objectives for asking. Now remember, hear means to understand. So when it says, he heareth us, it says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. In other words, he understands what you're asking. Why? Because he's the one living your life for you. It's his motives. It's his objectives. It's his will that you're praying. Now again, John is not speaking of confidence that we have, as though we possess this confidence on our own self-accord. But we have this confidence because we know that we are echoing the life of the Son in our bodies. And this is the confidence, he says, that we echo in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. So our echoing him, he says, is our evidence of the confidence. It's like the young child learning to walk. At first, you just don't know how. The child just doesn't know how to walk. And so it has to always depend on his father or mother to help it walk. In other words, it has a pattern. But it learns to walk by watching the father or watching the mother. And I like that because he tells us when we come to the place that we are echoing, it shows that we have the confidence that he is living our life for us. Just as the child, when the child finally has the it's been watching the pattern, watching the pattern, watching the pattern, and then it starts stepping into the pattern. And it begins to walk. And when that child walks and walks and walks, he begins to have confidence. The next thing you know, you find him running. And then from there. But notice, so the walking or the echoing is the confidence. You see? When he is living your life for you and you know it, then it gives you confidence to know that he also hears your prayers. And he is not somewhere way off in the galaxy somewhere else, but he's right in here in your heart. And he is ready to ask your request as soon as you ask it. In fact, even before you verbally ask it, he tells you he will answer. So while you are yet thinking it, he is cohabitating in your body like he did with his own son. And before you even open up your mouth to ask, he is already beginning to answer your request. And that is when you know that you and he are one, just like Jesus and his Father were one. Now, Brother Branham says in Christ is a Mystery of God Revealed, paragraph 218, he said, now how do you know? Because you're a church member? Because Christ is living through you. That's how you know. So pregnated with his Spirit that you're a prisoner to anything else. You're confined, oh my, to the gospel, confined to the word. And all the children that you can bring forth is that because you're a prisoner. You cannot commit adultery. You're already pregnated. Glory. He can't take a hold. The womb of life is closed to anything else. You're already his by predestination. That seed has got to come to life. That seed has come to life. No world can get in it. Oh, how that we'd like to stay on that for about an hour. I'm sure you understand. See, Christ and his alone already finished. The seed was there. The seed was already. When was it put there? Before the foundations of the world. Has predestinated us unto eternal life. And as soon as the life-giving flow, that seed laying there, other seeds that just would come in wouldn't take a hold, just couldn't do it. Like, but when that seed come in, quickly it stopped up the womb. All the rest of the seed was drove out. See like that. And become a prisoner, surrounded in Christ, Christ in you. His life bringing forth his evidence, his signs. Oh my. Look, bringing his signs of life as an evidence of his resurrection, proving to the world that eternal life vindicates to the world that we're alive in him. And think of it, alive with God, our Redeemer, who created us for the very same purpose, the church, and his creative life in us. That is, Moses could said by the word of God, let there come, and there come flies. A God that can make flies can make squirrels. See, he can do whatever he wants to. He's God. So he speaks of us and tells us there is coming a day when this will become a reality. He says in John 14:20, at that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And what Brother Branham is preaching here when he identifies Moses with the flies and himself with the squirrels, he's saying, it's a reality to me that God is living in me. And he's living in you. And this is the hour when squirrels are spoken into existence, just like back there, flies are spoken into existence. No man can do those things. That's an evidence of the sign of the life of Christ, the resurrected Christ in the individual. Again, in 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we echo in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. And how is it? How is it that you know that he hears you? Because you and he are one. Your life is echoing his life. From Christ is a Mystery, he says, and remember, we are now as bride pregnated with his Spirit. Oh my, the church bearing children, see, pregnated by his Spirit with his name, bearing his name, bearing his life, bringing forth the signs of his life, evident with the preeminence, evidence of his resurrection, showing that he is not dead, but alive forevermore. This is eternal life, and a vindicates to the world that we are alive in him. Now in John 16:23, Jesus says, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father, who are you asking? The Father. Ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name. And I shall say unto you that I will pray the Father for, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. In other words, there's coming a time when I'm no longer mediator. for the Father himself loveth you. Because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and I go to the Father. There's coming a time, he says, when you're going to go directly to the Father in his name. In other words, there's coming a day, he said, when you ask, you won't be asking the Son. You'll be going directly to the Father in the name of the Son, Jesus. You won't need to ask the Son of God, but you will go to the Father of the Son, in the name of the Son, and you will ask, and God, your Father, will answer. In fact, the Scripture tells us, even before you ask, he will answer. I find Revelation 21 and 3, other scriptures concerning this. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And Hebrews 11, 16, but now they desire a better country that is in heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. In 2 Corinthians 6 and 16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And Hebrews 8 and 10. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Now that brings us back to John 17 and 20. Neither pray I for these alone, Jesus said, but for them also which shall believe on me through their words, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory, the doxa, the values, opinions, and judgments which thou gavest me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. So the very purpose of the values, opinion, and judgment of God being in us is to make us one with God. He says, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, or completed in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Again, in Christ is a mystery, Brother Branham said, the kingdom of God is within you, said the Bible, said Jesus. The kingdom. We are not a denomination. We belong to a kingdom, and the kingdom is the word of God made spirit and life in our own life, bringing to pass every promise in this day as it did in that day when the word of God was one. And the word of God is one in his church today, making it the headship of the body that is redeemed to bring the message in the last days and be taken up from the dead in the resurrection to go back and to restore again as Adam and Eve in the beginning of the Garden of Eden, the threefold mystery of God, his body. Oh my. Now listen, what we're looking at here is an hour that we know that we and the Father are one, just like Jesus and the Father were one. In that day, when our life echoes the same life that echoed in Jesus, then we will know and have confidence that when we ask anything, that he is already here. He's in our heart to ask what we have asked, to answer what we've asked. And that is why John 14:12 and John 14:20 speak of the same thing and the same hour and the same day. In John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So notice Jesus says you're asking and you're doing shows God life is magnified in the very life expression which is in me and in you. That is what the word glorified means. It's from doxazo, meaning the doxa, the values, opinions, and judgment expressed in the zoe, which is the very life. God expressed life. Amen. Then Jesus says, when you are living that kind of God expressed life, he says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you orphans. That's right. That word comfortless is the Greek word orphanos. I will not leave you orphans. So we ask the question, when is an orphan no longer an orphan? At the time of adoption, and at the time of the adoption, he says, and I will come to you. You will know my parousia, you'll know my presence. that the time of the adoption is at hand. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you shall see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. And what is this manifestation? It is the revealing of Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ. From Christ is the mystery, he says, now we see the promise being fulfilled. Christ, the true headship, coming in his bride, doing the same works that he did at the beginning and making ready and fulfilling his word as he did in John 14:12. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Then the head and the body are becoming one in works and in sign and in life. Vindicated by God himself through his promised word for the last day. He promises in the last days. Now if you're spiritual, you'll catch it. And from Christ is the mystery, he says, now here he says, search the scriptures, they testify of me. In them you think that you have eternal life, and that's true. And they are the one that bear record of me, and I'm bearing record of them. And if I do not the works as promised that I would do, then don't hear me. But if I do the works and you can't believe me, believe the works. Because they testify that he is the word. Oh, it looks like it couldn't be any plainer. See, all right. Now, search the scriptures. He said Moses and all the law and so forth and the prophets and psalms spoke of him. And again, he said the scripture testify of him. So we go back to John, 1 John 5 and verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. That means disbelieveth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. That means he guards himself. It means he withholds himself. It means he restrains himself. And that the wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. And the same one that was in Jesus Christ, he says, this is the true God and eternal life. Now to save time, let's just read a few more verses of scripture showing the promise that we have of eternal life, God life. 1 John 2:24. Let that therefore abideth in you, which you have heard from the beginning. And what is that? He says, that which we have heard. In other words, the word. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. 1 John 3:1-2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world doesn't know us, it knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. And notice this last verse. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he, God, is pure. In other words, if you have the Holy Spirit, your life will reflect holiness. I can't say it enough. If you go to Brother Branham's sermon on, we talked about the new earth. What was the one? Brother Vail preached a series on it. Brother Branham talks about the earth being cleansed and everything else. He talks about how it comes by fire. And he says, our cleansing comes by fire. Too many people in this message do not have guilt when they should have guilt for their sin. Because they don't have the holy fire of God. In John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth, he that understands my word and believeth on him that sent me, echoes everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Is your life echoing his? Now remember, the word heareth was defined by God's prophet to mean he that understands my word. And to only those who understand and then believe will echo eternal life, which is God life. John 5:25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear, they that understand, shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, as the Father echoes life in himself, so hath he given the Son to echo life in himself. John 6:57, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me echoes everlasting life. All time and time again, we hear Jesus tell it, we hear John tell it, we hear Paul tell it. He said, if you truly believe, your life will echo. It will say the same things. It will reflect the same nature. It'll do the same things. He said, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat man in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for the world, for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood echoes eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and as I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Now remember, who is Jesus? He was the Word manifested, right? So if you've got to eat that Word manifested, he's not talking about his physical flesh. He's talking about the flesh of the Word. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your father did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. And John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Colossians 3:4, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, shall phanero, then shall you also appear, you shall also phanero with him in glory. And if you are, he says, then mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, and idolatry. In other words, put these things aside. A son of God should not have unholiness in his mind. Hebrews 7:15, and it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek there riseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. In Acts 13:48, when the Gentiles heard these things, they were glad, and they glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we've been looking at all of these scriptures that show that that eternal life comes through the Son. The very life that was in the Son, living and expressing the very same way in you, echoing him, because he that echoes the Son echoes life. Now in closing, we're going to look at the other seed, the false vine, the other class, as Brother Ram spoke of. Those who have turned down the baptism of the Holy Ghost, these have no eternal life, but they possess earthly, sensual, beast life, and what life they do have is temporary. Isaiah 47:8 says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth away, but the word of the Lord, the word of our God, shall stand forever. James 1:11, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perishes. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Jude 1:12, these are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water. We know that's no doctrine. Cared about of every wind of doctrine. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by their roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their shame. Wandering stars, like Brother Brown said, always wondering about this, wondering about that. To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever? Now remember in 1 Peter 1:23, it says, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Then he compares that incorruptible seed with the corruptible. He says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now, in closing, Isaiah 1:28. And the destruction of the transgressor and of the sinner shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. Now, we're looking at these blood moons for a purpose. I believe, as Brother Branham said, and I've got many quotes where Brother Branham said, the church, the moon represents the church. And we know that he said red represents death. We are seeing the death of the church in the heavens. It awed me this morning as I got up, 4:45. I went outside and I took a picture of the moon before the eclipse began. And it was a full moon. Then I went out maybe 15 minutes later, took another picture, and it was 3/4 of a moon. Then I went out about 15 minutes later, and it was half a moon. Then I went out about 15 more minutes, and it was 1/4 of a moon. Then Levon and I both went out together, and it was just a sliver. And when you think that that light, Brother Brown said, the moon, the light that's given off by the moon, he said, is a reflection of the sun. So just how, what is God showing us in? See, people look at it as just a red moon, a blood moon. What it is, it's a full eclipse. And there's only a sliver of sunlight left. There's only a sliver of the life of the sun echoing in the church. The rest of it is just dead. Usually with a full blood moon, you might see just a radiation or just a little ray of light. The rest of it's all red. It's death. The church is dying. The people in the churches are dying. They're not echoing the life of the sun no more. Isaiah 24, 1-6. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty. It's coming. He maketh it waste. And he will turn it upside down and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest. As with the servant, so with his master. As with the maid, so with his mistress. As with the buyer, so with the seller. As with the lender, so with the borrower. As with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. In other words, as with the banker, so is the, you know, the people that got their money in the bank. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled. For the Lord hath spoken his word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languishes and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinances, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left. Isaiah 29:14. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us? And who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as a potter's clay. For shall the work say to him that made it, who made me? He made me not. Or shall the thing framed say to him that framed it? He had no understanding. In other words, where is the sighing and crying for not only the abomination done in the city, but our lack of response to the abomination done in the city? In closing, let's read from Malachi 4, because this is what it's all about. For behold, the day is coming that shall burn as an oven. And all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. And it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name. There's something about fearing God, a reverential fear of God. Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of right wiseness arise with a healing campaign. And he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, you shall. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember you the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, the great day was when John the Baptist came. The dreadful day is this hour. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, that's John the Baptist, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And we know the curse, according to Deuteronomy 28, the curses of God are already in the earth. It's economic, it's plagues, it's catastrophes, no rain, too much rain. All the curses are becoming in bloom. We are seeing what Brother Branham warned us about in seed form back then, in flowered form, manifested form today. Brother Branham said there's coming a disease that men will rot right in their flesh. And he said the scientists and the doctors know nothing about it. It's now in something like 8 to 10 countries. Just in Africa alone, there's been 3,400 deaths. How many people are infected that haven't died yet? I believe that's a small number compared to what's coming. And I believe it was brought here on purpose to this country because Brother Branham, in his quote, said it's germ warfare. And what they're diagnosing, just diagnosed 99 people today that may have it in Uganda. One man just died of it in Uganda. A healthcare worker. They call it Marburg. Marburg is the one that was manufactured by the military. That's the one that they were working with. And according to Dr. Rima Laidlaw, she said 5 years ago the CDC said, they made a public statement, that nano silver can cure Ebola. But the governments are refusing to send it over there. Why? The elite know that if they have the silver, they have the nanoparticles in their body, these diseases won't take them. And so they're withholding it from the poor people. My brother Branham's the one who warned us 50-some years ago, 60 years ago, about the germ warfare, about diseases that men would rot right in their body. He said it's in Revelation chapter 8 and other places in Scripture. It's there. God promised it. It's here. But we have a promise. He said those with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, those with the seal of God, those diseases were commanded not to touch them. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we see the importance of not only resisting the plagues by being filled with your Spirit, but Father, knowing that our going home is dependent on our echoing the life of your Son. Help us, Lord. There's only one way we can do that, and that is to die to ourselves. Help us to see the essentiality of the death and resurrection of the believer. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee.